We'll read verse 26 through verse 38, Mary's discoveries. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Oh, hallelujah. And then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The book of Genesis begins with, "In the beginning, God." And the book of Genesis ends with these words, "A coffin in Egypt." What starts out is a garden of Eden that's beautiful and wonderful ends with the words, "A coffin in Egypt." And the entire Old Testament, when you come to the end of it, after all the parade of princes and prophets and kings, after the giving of the law and all that's said and done, the Exodus and the miracles of God, when you come to the end of the whole thing, the whole end of the Old Testament, it ends with these words, "The earth with a curse." That's a pretty sober way to end a book, much less to end the entire Old Testament. "The earth with a curse." I can imagine folks would be thinking or saying, "Oh God, isn't there any way back? Isn't there any way back into your presence? Isn't there any hope?" Actually, the years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's as if the whole world just took a gathered breath. Like God just ceases speaking for a little while, and the whole world waits. "Long lay the world in sin and error pining till He appeared, and the soul felt its worth." When you come to the end, when you come to those last words of the Old Testament, "The earth with a curse," then turn the page, because the very next line in the Bible begins in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and the very next line of the Bible says, "The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ." It is declaring this is a new generation. This is a new thing. This is the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The earth with the curse, that's not the end of things. That was simply the end of the old covenant. If you had your Bibles open, when you turn the pages, most of our Bibles then say the New Testament, doesn't it? And the New Testament begins with the book of Matthew. And Matthew begins with the begats. And it ends with these words, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. After the quiet time, that quiet time from Malachi, I didn't say that correctly. He was Italian. It should be pronounced Malachi. But after that quiet time from Malachi to Matthew, we see that there's a sudden flurry of angelic activity. Luke's gospel tells us that an angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias to tell him that he and his wife were finally going to have a child. In their old age, that she was going to give birth to a son and his name would be called John. We know him as John the Baptist. And the angel said that this boy will turn the heart of the children of Israel to the Lord and to their God. He'll make a way for the Messiah. He'll make ready a people for their Lord. It's an incredible prophecy by that angel telling those words to Elizabeth. After this long, quiet time between the Old and New Testament, suddenly there's this flurry of angelical activity because that angel that appeared to Zacharias, his name was Gabriel, that same angel then appeared 6 months later to a young woman of Nazareth. Her name was Mary. She was the virgin prophesied in the Bible that would give birth to the Son of God. And that beautiful song, the beautiful song that was sung this morning, that we're blessed by when Dale sang, "Mary, Did You Know?" It asks the question of the ages, doesn't it? Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Did you know that your baby boy would someday rule the nations? And he will. Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? He was the spotless, perfect lamb of God. Mary, did you know that the child you're holding is the great I Am? The child in your arms. Suddenly, this young virgin, probably no older than 16 years old, suddenly she would discover three incredible, wonderful truths. And I shared the first one with you, the first point of the sermon this morning. Mary discovered that God's plans are eternal. Now, there's no doubt Mary, as most young people, would have dreams of her own. It would not be unusual for a young Jewish girl like her, like most other young Jewish women, to dream about marrying the right man, having children, teaching them about God, and being a loving wife and a loving mother. No doubt those were in her heart. Those were her plans. Look at this next image with me. Suddenly, there is Gabriel's surprising message. Think about it. One day, life is very normal for a young teenage girl that's soon going to be married. And incredibly, the angel Gabriel is standing before her in all the splendor of heaven, and he's telling her that she's highly favored among women. He tells her that she's going to conceive. And even though she's known no man, that she's going to give birth to the Son of God, the promised Messiah. And of his kingdom there'll be no end. All of this is the message from the angel Gabriel. That day, Mary quickly learned that God works on a forever basis. He works on a forever basis. That his ways and his plans are eternal. They're everlasting. They are unending. It was true then and it's true today. Let me ask you, is that eternal view, is that in our hearts this morning? Are we living out our lives with the spiritual understanding that the only things that matter are those that count for eternity? Are those our priorities today? I can remember the times I would counsel with my son Ryan. I would often encourage him. And I'd use these words, "Son, take the long look," as he would try to make life's decisions. Like so many young men and women, he naturally was more concerned with tomorrow, and he might look as far ahead as next week. That's about it. As a father, I would try to show him that in taking the long look, you stop and you make plans that not only affect your tomorrow, but you make decisions and plans that affect your years to come. God was showing Mary that the event about to happen to her wouldn't just impact her over the next few months or the next few years, that the event that was going to happen to her would impact the world forever. Forever. Think about it. It was the beginning of the end of the earth with a curse, wasn't it? It was the beginning of the end of the earth with a curse. It was the New Testament of God. It was God saying, all right, you slammed the door shut. You're not in my presence now because of your sin. Because of that sin, you're not in fellowship with me. You've murdered, you've lied, you've stolen, you've committed adultery, you've whored after other gods. But I've not had my last word. I'm going to send my son, Jesus. And there's going to be a new covenant. There's going to be a covenant of grace. There's going to be a covenant of forgiveness. Because the shed blood of my son, the Lamb of God, will bring about this new wonderful work of grace in the new thing that I'm doing through my son, Jesus. God works on a forever basis. Forever. Are your plans, are your priorities, are your decisions, are they being made with eternity's values in mind? Are you taking the long look, spiritually speaking, or are you just focused on today? So God's plans are eternal. It takes us to the second point about her discoveries. Mary discovered that God's promises are unfailing. You say amen to that. You see me taking a drink with my right arm. Praise God for that. That's progress for me. You know, Mary must have been familiar with the promises from the Word of God. The promises about the Messiah. The promises in the teachings and the prophecies about the one to rule and reign on David's throne. I'm sure she was even familiar with the prophecies that he would be born of a virgin. It recorded in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The prophecies that I'm referencing have been given about 700 years before this time of Mary. And I'm sure there were many, many folks that as the centuries went by, many doubted that they would even be fulfilled. Many even questioned if that folks had the correct understanding of those prophecies. But look at this next image with me. As I tell you, we believe that Jesus is coming back for us. That is a promise that God and Jesus has made to us. In fact, the scripture in the first chapter of Acts is a promise of his return. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will what? Will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. We have the promise of the return of Jesus. We have the promise that he'll never leave us or forsake us. We have the promise that he cares for every detail of our lives. We're told in the Word of God, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. There's an old song, some of you know this old song, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All are blessings of his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Are these promises your promises today? Are you counting on these promises in your life? Don't let go of God's promises in his word. They're promises to you and me personally. And they don't change with the passing of time. They're still true today. His promises are unfailing, just as His plans are eternal. And it takes us to the third point today. Mary discovered that God's power is unlimited. Upon hearing Gabriel's message, the Bible tells us that Mary asked this question, "How can this be? I don't know a man." She's saying, "I've never been intimate with a man. How can I conceive and have a child?" And the angel declares to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you." God's power, through His Holy Spirit, did the impossible then, and God's power through His Holy Spirit is still doing the impossible if we just believe, if we'll just have faith. God had proven His power by taking an older woman, Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, who had longed for a child, and now she has conceived and is carrying a child. Look at this next image with me. It's as if God knew that He needed to reassure Mary of the impossible miracle in her by having her immediately go and visit her cousin Elizabeth. A miracle occurred as Mary entered the home of her cousin Elizabeth. The Bible tells us that as Elizabeth didn't see Mary, it says as she heard the voice of Mary, that the baby in her leaped in her womb, and immediately Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on to say, and she spoke with a loud voice. Let me just tell you, when the power of God and His Holy Spirit comes upon you, you get excited. And I guarantee you, Elizabeth at that moment, as she was filled with the Holy Spirit, she was excited. It says she said with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. How is it that the mother of my Lord has come to me? Blessed is she who believed." Now, wait a minute. Nobody had told Elizabeth that Mary had conceived, was going to have a child. Nobody had told Elizabeth that the child that she was going to conceive would be her Lord. Nobody had told her that Mary had believed. Nobody had told her except that the Holy Spirit had come upon Elizabeth, and the Holy Spirit revealed to her that Mary had conceived and was going to bring forth the Son of God. And that those words, don't you know, Mary hearing those words, it provided a reassurance in that young woman's heart. It provided a confirmation in that young woman's worry, troubled mind, that indeed the miracle that happened in her cousin Elizabeth in her old age had indeed happened right in her own body by the power of God and His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The next verses in Luke, beginning in verse 46, illustrates that Mary now truly has faith to believe. Listen to her words. "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things in me.'" Let me tell you, He who is mighty wants to do great things in your life and my life today if we will just believe, if we'll believe. Jesus reminded His disciples of this truth. In Matthew 19 and 26, He told them, He said, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Let me ask you this morning, can you dare trust God? Can you trust Him to believe in His power that is unlimited according to the Word? Even today, can you trust Him absolutely? Hebrews 13 and 8, you know it well. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the same right now, today. The power is unchanged. It's still there. Jack Herring was 19 years old. He was serving in the 84th Infantry Division of the U.S. Army in World War II. His unit was in place at the battle we've come to know as the Battle of the Bulge. The Battle of the Bulge was the Germans' last desperate effort to have victory in Europe. The Germans were determined to break through the Allied lines, and Jack Herring was among the U.S. soldiers doing their best to prevent it. Look at this next image of what it might have been like for those soldiers. It was Christmas Day, 1944, and Jack started a letter to his mother. "Dear Mom, this is a very different Christmas day than I have ever spent in my life. Right now, I'm living in the hayloft of a farmer's barn, and I'm glad to be here rather than a foxhole somewhere." Jack reminisced about his mom and family and the good Christmases he had growing up. The letter he wrote was upbeat. He didn't reveal or tell his mother about all the things that had really been troubling him. He didn't reveal how he had become disillusioned with faith and religion, how he even began to doubt God, and how the weather had been so miserable and the fighting so blazing that he lived in fear that he'd never see his home in Pennsylvania again. For him, the last straw was being sent out into these snow-covered hills and woods where his unit was under attack at any moment. And he was beginning to think that the God he had known as a child in Pennsylvania had completely forsaken him. But on that Christmas day, as Jack wrote that letter to his mom, he was thankful for the shelter he had of that old barn, and he was thankful for the hot meal that the cooks were preparing that he would enjoy on Christmas Day. But suddenly, his squad leader, Sergeant Presto, was there shouting, "Collect your gear, fall out, men. We're going on another mission." It seems that the Army intelligence had found that some German infantry had dug in up on a hill nearby, and they were creating habit by shooting down on a road below. And Jack Herring's battalion was to go up and flush them all out. Well, unfortunately, what was supposed to be a quick operation turned to anything but quick. As the U.S. soldiers crept through the snow of the woods in their attempt to capture the Germans, suddenly all hell broke loose. German tanks and machine guns were firing on them. Army intelligence hadn't told them there were any German tanks, and suddenly there were six of the Tiger tanks, the German tanks, all six of them firing, along with grenade launchers and mortars and machine guns, all firing at the same time. And within seconds, men were screaming in pain as the German had Jack's unit pinned down. And before Jack could get to cover, something tore into his thigh. It was hot. It was searing pain. Wounded buddies lay all around him, and many were groaning in pain. And finally, the order came to pull back. And Jack is there wounded. He's saying, "Pull back? How can we get these wounded men out of here? We can't leave these men behind. We're trapped." And he thought in his heart again. He thought, "Where is the God that I once knew? Where is the God I once had faith in?" But in desperation, he bowed his head and he prayed, Oh Lord, help us. We're trying to get out of here with our wounded buddies. Oh God, somehow show us the way out." When he opened his eyes after he had finished praying, he opened his eyes, and in the black of the night was a huge giant hulk moving toward him. At first he thinks, "Oh, it's the Germans." Then as it got closer, he realized it wasn't the Germans, it was something else. And it kept closer and closer to him. And finally it stopped in full view, right beside him and his buddies. And it was a horse. It was a big, docile, shaggy chestnut horse just standing there without a harness, as if it was just waiting for their bidding. Jack looked at that horse in unbelief. Quickly, he and another man in the squadron, they got the wounded soldiers and they draped them over the back of that horse. As many as they could, they put on the back of that horse, and then Jack hoisted one of his buddies up on his own shoulder. And they began to lead that horse through the woods toward the clearing. Once they got to the clearing, the horse trotted ahead of them as if he knew right where to go, straight ahead to the old barn where Jack had been originally, where the medics were, and the medics were waiting there to treat the wounded. After the men were cared for and Jack's wound and his leg was cared for, he went out to find that horse and to give it some sugar and feed it and just thank it. And the horse was nowhere to be found. In fact, nobody could even tell him they'd even seen a horse. It was nowhere. The next morning, he and the wounded men in his unit, they finally enjoyed their belated Christmas dinner. The day before, there had been 190 men in their unit, but on the day after, there was only 35 that had survived. Jack was full of grief over his lost buddies, and the shock of his own survival was overwhelming to him. But in the midst of all that happened that Christmas in 1944, Jack Herring would testify, if he was here today, and would say that God answered his prayer. That he sent a shaggy chestnut horse to reassure a doubting soldier, to reassure that doubting soldier of God's unfailing promises, of His unfailing power, and of His eternal plans for each of us. Are you making plans today that count for eternity? Are you making plans that God is part of that'll count when all the things of this world end? Are you trusting fully in His promises? They're unfailing. Did you hear me? God's promises are unfailing. Are you trusting in His promises today? Are you resting and believing in His unlimited power to meet whatever need your heart is crying for? If you'll trust in Him with all your heart, if you don't doubt His love, if you don't doubt His concern for you, if you don't doubt that He knows exactly what you're dealing with, what you're going through this morning, then you'll understand He's here today. He's always been with you. He'll never leave you. He's here today. He is our Savior. Praise God for the Lamb of God. Praise God for the gift of Christmas. Praise God for a baby that was laid in a manger in a stable on a cold winter's night, that was God incarnate, deity come to this world for one reason, to die on a cross for our sins. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Is that your hope today? Oh, I pray it is. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the wonderful lessons we learn as we look at the Word of God, the life of the young Virgin Mary. God, as she understood your plans are eternal, just as your plans for us is for us to be with you for all of eternity. Father, she understood that your promises, oh, they are so true. They are unfailing. God, help us hold on to the promises of your word today. And with faith, know that they are unfailing. That the passing of time makes no difference. And Mary discovered, help us to discover that your power is unlimited, that all things are possible for those that believe in you. Oh, fill us with faith today. Fill us with hope today. Fill us with trust today. Let your peace be our peace. Let your joy be our joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Would you please stand with me? Praise God. Let's just sing without the piano or anything, just our words, our voices.
And join me in this. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord.
Amen, amen. May we adore Him and worship Him who is worthy of our adoration and our worship. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for coming and worshiping on this Sunday before Christmas. I hope that many of you will be able to return Tuesday night and be with us for our Christmas Eve candlelight service. You will be blessed. And change your plans around a little bit if you've got plans. And make it work so you can be here Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. And you'll be out of here before 7 and you won't regret it. And bring family with you and they'll be blessed too. It'll be a wonderful blessing. Brother Brian Bartlett, it's so good to have you and your family with us. Would you dismiss us in prayer today, Brian?